that you're gonna regret.
But if you wanna stay in shape, well, you better hit the
Chimwits, Chimwits.
That's right, man. You tell them.
Welcome to the Chimwits Podcast. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Chimwits. So on today's episode, we're going to discuss the essential guide to training the biceps.
Oh, my favorite.
We've done one on the back already, so it's our second, and hopefully we'll cover all the major muscle groups. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience with the Spartan
race. How did that go?
Yeah, so I did it on Saturday, this past Saturday. Yeah, it will actually be Saturday previous, or well, it'll be a week and a half ago or so from when this episode airs. But it was a lot of fun, actually. So I ran my first Spartan race. It was a Spartan sprint, which was in Citi Field, the home of the Mets. And it was definitely a fun experience. If you've ever done an obstacle course race, it's intense. It's a lot of work. In Citi Field in particular, it's tough because they say 3 to 5 miles. I think it felt like closer to 3 miles worth, but obviously you're in a stadium, so there's only so much you can run. So they have you running all over the stadium, but there's a lot of stairs up and down and up and down and through the stairs. And my biggest gripe, so with the whole thing, and I think this is for me next time I'm going to have to go at a different time, is that there were a lot of like crowds. So there were times where you're backed up because imagine you're going through a row of stadium stairs behind other people. So if one person slows down, that backs up the entire group. So there were quite a few times where on the stadium stairs, I ended up backed up behind people just walking. So I feel like I did it in exactly an hour, which I'm a little upset with. I wanted to get, you know, under an hour would have been nice.
But that wasn't your fault because you were stuck behind people.
So I could have easily, no lie, shaved 10 minutes off of my time.
So
just
shave
from,
it off.
So yeah, right. But still pretty good. I think I my final number, I think I came in like 112th out of 8,000 people that did it. But still, for me, it's like that the competitive side was like, oh, I, you know, couldn't have done better. So
I think next time,
because I didn't know what to expect. So I think the elite times are supposed to be 40 minutes.
How competitive was the atmosphere there?
Not very at the time I went. So they basically have the early morning heats are when you get like the quote elite runners. So the people that are going to be more competitive and more intense. So, and there are fewer people at that time. So I think that when I'm going to do it next year, and my goal is to finish in the top, I don't know, 25, let's say. So if 40 minutes is like the best time, and I didn't train for this, you know, obviously I do my normal Muay Thai training and some conditioning, but I didn't train specifically for this. So next year I'm going to train for this, and my goal is to do it in between 40 and 45 minutes, let's say.
Did you notice any moments during the race where like a lot of the contestants just sort of gave up, or kind of just you noticed like a noticeable point where people started slowing down?
Yeah, well, so basically there are two things. Whenever you get to an obstacle, if you can't complete the obstacle, you have to do 20, I think it's 30 burpees.
Jeez.
So, and like the burpees where you drop all the way to the floor, the belly flop burpees. So that's one part. But then obviously if you quit the obstacle, you got to do burpees, which is not going to be fun either. But there were, I think the couple points I noticed were definitely on the stadium stairs. There was a point on the stadium stairs where people just quit. Like they either just stepped to the side or they just walked. And it was like, they're walking. It's like, I don't care if 15 people are backed up behind me. So that was one place where people quit. I'll tell you a couple of hard obstacles. So the ones that people had trouble with. There's some that other people had trouble with and a couple that I had more trouble with. So the one that I noticed the most people just say, all right, I got to take a break, is you basically had, for men it was 2 50-pound jugs of water, and for women it was one. So you picked up the two jugs of water, and then you had to walk all the way down like a few flights. It felt longer going down than it did going up for some reason. I guess because of the anticipation, like going down, you're anticipating, okay, is this the last flight? Is this the last flight? So you get all the way down, and then you got to walk all the way back up with those jugs. So I was determined not to drop the jugs, and I didn't. I was able to go down and up pretty quickly without dropping the jugs. I saw a lot of people. That was the point where, because it was earlier on in the race, where quite a few guys, especially these big, strong guys, like they got down the stairs and then they had to put the jugs down and kind of get their wind back and get the muscle endurance back and start walking it back up. So that was one part where people started to quit. A couple people just straight up just left the jugs down there and walked upstairs and then did their burpees. Yeah. The other ones that were tough, there was a rope climb that people had a hard time with.
That's a physically difficult.
Yeah, that was physically challenging one. I had a hard time not going up. I mean, going up is not easy, but coming down, because I don't climb ropes. So I slid, and so I kind of burned my hands on the way down. So that was a little challenging. Let's see. The hardest for me, so there was one where there was a rope attached to like a lever, you know, I don't know, maybe 20 feet high. And then on the bottom was a heavy sandbag. Wow. And so you had to pull the sandbag up to the top, and then you had to lower it, but controlled. And that was the hardest for me for some reason. I saw guys that were not, didn't look as strong as me, who had seemed to have much easier of a time with it than I did. But I had a very hard time with that. And there were a lot of, like, you know, jumping over or climbing walls, which weren't too bad. There was a spear throw. That was the one where you have one shot. And I did it, and I had to do my 30 burpees because I couldn't get the spear throw. You had to hit a target. And I would almost rather have just skipped the spear throw because I probably waited 4 or 5 minutes just waiting in line to get a chance to throw the spear. Yeah, but then I just had to do burpees anyway, so yeah, I was tired. So that was annoying. And then there were a bunch of other obstacles, but I would say, like, the hardest for me was definitely pulling the thing. And then there were just other little parts in the middle where you'd notice people just were kind of like, all right, I'm going to take my break, take my break now. But it was a lot of fun. So I had a good time, and I definitely want to do it next time. We could do it together, but yeah, I'm not waiting for you.
All right.
So you better get in shape because that's another interesting thing about it. So there were a lot of teams, lots of groups of people that went together, and some where the people just stayed together. There was one, it was sweet. Like, there was one person who had obviously either injured themselves or, like, they were just exhausted. So they were lying kind of on the floor, and their whole team, like 4 or 5 people just with them, like supporting them. And that was nice. Personally, I get a little too competitive, so I'm not waiting for a team, because we had people from my gym last year went, and they were like, oh, we should do it next year. And I was like, okay, sure, but I'm not waiting for anybody. Like, yeah, I'm going, when I go, I go. That's it for me. But yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. I did get to bug a couple of my friends who do CrossFit, because I have a couple of friends who are big into CrossFit, and they were saying, we always joke back and forth about whether that's better conditioning than the Muay Thai. And so my time was much better than theirs. So that was good. I've been rubbing it to them a little bit. But I'm sure there were CrossFitters who had much better times than I did. So it was just fun to mess with my CrossFit friends.
That's fine.
So I guess that's it. It was fun.
All right. So now on to something that won't help you at all with the Spartan race.
Yeah, probably. Yes, the essential guide to the biceps. So if you're looking to train the biceps muscle, probably not individually focusing on it, not the most functional thing in the world, but it definitely looks good.
Looks good.
And lots of people want it. And, every guy and girl, wants defined biceps. So we're going to go over some little, little training tips when you're working the biceps. So first thing when dealing with, obviously, what are the biceps? It's the big muscle on the front of the arm. Most people know. There's some muscles like, the quadriceps or hamstrings, where people like may or may not know, but most people know what the biceps are. We're going to talk about that muscle, but we're also going to deal with some other muscles around it, because they all kind of work together.
Forearm,
there are a couple muscles.
What's that muscle called?
Well, there's a bunch of muscles in the forearms. There are three main ones that we're going to talk about. So there's the biceps brachii, which is the main biceps muscle, right on the top of the top. It kind of starts at the elbow, works towards the into the shoulder. Then there's the brachialis, which is kind of buried underneath the biceps. So it's gonna, you'll see it more. Someone who's very defined, you're gonna see it kind of on the side of the arm, not quite where the triceps is, but kind of like between where you would see the biceps and triceps. There's a muscle there, but it's kind of buried underneath the biceps. And then there's the brachioradialis, which is, it attaches kind of on the humerus near the elbow, above the joint, and then it also works its way down towards the forearm. So basically, that's that. If your palms are up, the muscle on the side of your arm, that thicker muscle on the side of your forearm, that's the brachioradialis. So those three are the main muscles that work together to help with the biceps muscle. I just want to make sure, even though we're talking most about the biceps, those are the muscles that we really need to focus on if we're going to work on the biceps. So next thing is positioning. So, because I'm going to come back to this a little bit as we're talking about the different muscles and how they affect it. So if you start with your palms up, that means you're in a supinated position. So your palms are facing up. If you turn your palms all the way down, that's a pronated position. So you have pronation, which is palms down, supination, which is palms up. So again, these are movements or positions that we'll come back to.
Now, what about the...
just a neutral position.
The one with, like, for the hammer curls, that would be considered neutral.
A neutral position.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
just in between.
Yeah. So those are the positions that we kind of start with. So basically, when you're dealing with the biceps, the main movement that the biceps or all those muscles perform is elbow flexion. So again, if you're standing, you know, just bending your elbows, that's flexing your elbows. Extending your elbows, that's extending the elbows. So that's the main function, and that's the main purpose when you're doing an exercise, is you're by flexing and extending the elbows, you're working those muscles. It's just that then we have to figure out positioning in order to maximize, like, you know, focus on which muscles you want to focus on. All right, make sense so far? All right, so the first muscle, we'll talk about the biceps brachii. So that one, it's interesting because people don't always train it, or train it fully, I should say. So it does three things, the muscles. It bends, flexes at the elbow, like we talked about. It also helps flexing at the shoulder. So if you were to take your shoulder and extend it up or forward, it's going to help with that movement. Mm. And then the other thing it does is if your palm's neutral or pronated, palms down, it's going to help with supination. So that muscle does all three of those movements. So the important thing about that is when you're working the muscle, in order to fully work the muscle, you have to work it in all three movements. So, okay, you know, if you let's say you just do curls, but your palms are neutral, they're not supinated, you're not going to get the full effect of the muscle. If you just do the curl with the palms up, but you don't flex at the shoulder, then you're not going to get the full use of the muscle. So that doesn't mean you have to do that all the time, but again, if it does those three things, in order to fully work the muscle, you have to do exercises that involve all those joints. Mm. So, you know, that's the first thing about it. It's called a triarticulate muscle because of that. It works on three different joints. Okay. And that's the part that people kind of don't take into account. So sometimes you just think, okay, I'm just going to curls. That's all it is. But it's not just that. You have to kind of keep in mind how are you curling and what are you doing. So again, you want to work the biceps, that's one thing to consider. So now the second muscle is the brachialis, so the muscle buried under the biceps. Mm-hmm. So that muscle also flexes at the elbow. So that's the main function of the brachialis. It's going to flex at the elbow. So that's important because if we want to work that muscle more, we have to negate the biceps. So because the biceps...
What do you mean by that?
So, okay, they both do the same thing. They both flex at the elbow, right? But the biceps has the additional part of supinating, turning the palms up, and then flexing at the elbow. So if we want to just work the brachialis, we got to somehow inhibit the biceps a little bit. So in order to inhibit the biceps, you keep the palms in a neutral position because you limit the full range of motion of the biceps or the full potential of the biceps.
So you would do like a hammer curl.
So you do like a hammer curl. So that's why when you do hammer curls, it's not necessarily working as much the biceps muscle as the brachialis muscle. So we'll get back to that a little bit later, but just an idea of like if they do the same thing, you got to find a way to inhibit the other muscle if you want to focus on one muscle.
That's an interesting concept.
Right. And then there's the brachioradialis, which does the same thing. So it also assists in flexing
at the
elbow.
One more time, where's the brachioradialis?
That one's the forearm one. So that's the one that kind of starts on the in the humerus or like above the
and extends.
Starts above the elbow joint, extends down towards the forearm but does the same thing. It flexes. It helps a little bit in supinating. So again, turning the palms up. But we're gonna forget about that for now because we're mainly focused on the fact that it also flexes at the elbow. So the same thing. If we want to work the brachioradialis, we've got to find a way to inhibit the other muscles in order to get the maximum function out of that one muscle. If you want to just work that one muscle, so that's it. So that's how all of those muscles work. So how does this apply to exercise? So basically, if I want to, you know, for the full muscle to get the most out of it, you want to do as many different ranges of motion as you can. So you want to work when you're doing a bicep, if you're just working the biceps muscle, then you want to do curls where you can do curls where you already start with your palms up and you just curl. Okay, you can do the
traditional curl.
You can do the same thing, but when you curl at the elbow, you also extend a little bit up at the shoulder. So you think, you know, instead of just bending and extending the elbow, you'd bend the elbow and extend the shoulder a little bit. That gets even more of the muscle involved.
Imagine you were going to punch yourself in the head, right? Motion. So you make the curl and then you move.
Or like an uppercut.
Your fist,
movement.
You give it an uppercut, you know, if you want to hit yourself. Just don't hit yourself.
So that would get the biceps. Another thing that'll get the biceps even more is if you start kind of standing with your palms neutral or facing each other, and then you come up and twist. So you come up, you bend the elbow, you twist the palm or the palm up to supination and you flex at the elbow. So you're doing all three things at once. That's also going to get the most out of your biceps. So you can do that right now and you'll feel the muscle contract more. If you, again, you start palms facing, you twist your wrist as you flex at the elbow and you flex at the shoulder, you're going to get a lot more of the biceps involved because that's everything that it does. So that's kind of one part to get the biceps. But again, if you want to work your biceps, you want to work the other muscles. In addition to, you know, you'll see again, got people, bodybuilders, people with very defined arms, it's not just that one muscle. They have defined triceps, sure, they have a defined brachialis. And also, getting a stronger brachioradialis will help you lift heavier with the biceps. So it also assists. So to get the brachioradialis, again, like I said, doing hammer curls is going to work that muscle more. So palms facing neutral will help work that muscle, will also help you get like a fuller arm because you're developing all the muscles instead of just focusing on that one muscle.
Sure.
So that would be the second part is doing hammer curls or curls where the palms are facing. You could do it with dumbbells. You could do it with a cable, like a rope on a cable, and you just keep the palms facing. So by keeping the palms neutral, you're going to focus on that muscle. Now, in addition, so now if we want to work the brachioradialis, same thing. The brachioradialis works more when the palms are neutral because, again, the biceps are inhibited. So that muscle will help produce the movement because now the biceps aren't involved as much. You can also get the brachioradialis by pronating, so by palms down. If you do curls like wrist, like curls with the palms down, it's also going to be involved, but it's involved mostly when the palms are neutral.
Forearm curls a lot of times.
Well, I want to differentiate. I was about to say that, but I want to differentiate from like literally curling at the wrist.
Well, there's the wrist curls. Which could
also, yeah, wrist curl. I guess it's called forearm. So yeah.
That's always what we'd call them if we did the curl where our palms are facing down.
Yeah. Okay, so that could work too. So you do it with the palms facing down, you're going to work mostly the brachioradialis. And so that's kind of the difference and the interplay between those three muscles. So if you want to develop the biceps, you want to build that one muscle. But again, you also want to build the brachialis and you also want to work on the brachioradialis. And they all, in order to emphasize each one separately, you've got to put the palm in a different position. You have to flex more at the elbow or flex at the shoulder. So there's a little bit of interplay between the three.
Interesting.
All right.
A lot more than you would think that goes into biceps. Most people just think, oh, you just do a curl. Now, there's something interesting that I've heard when doing biceps. Now, I don't know if this directly relates to this, but I've heard that you always want to be tense. You want to be almost when you're doing the biceps, like you're flexing and have maximum tension the whole time. Is that correct? Or do you want to think about it more as other exercises where you explode, but not necessarily be tense the full time? Or is there advantages to
each?
I
think that's just a different modality. So it's a different style of training. It's not necessarily, that would just apply to anything. It depends on what you're doing, I guess.
I always heard for cosmetic purposes, right? If you want to have that really defined bicep look when you do your curls, you want to be super tense the whole time.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think there's so many different ways to train. That's just another modality there. But you could do the same thing with explosive training. You could do any kind of method, it's just a different way to train. You know, they'll say like that kind of negative training or maximum tension is going to do a lot for strength and size. It's hard.
Sure.
And it does help, but it's not necessarily the only way to train or the only way to develop the biceps. And sometimes it's a little bit less functional. So
sure.
Obviously when you're dealing with cosmetics, it by nature is not always going to be the best for you to participate in a sport or for your daily activities, but I'd like to still stay closer to normal activities. So, you know, again, that's kind of how I would train, but doing that style of training is fine, can work too. If that's the goal is like, oh, I just want to build my biceps as big as possible, then you can do that too. But it would just be one of many other different styles of training.
Now with other exercises, I know we talked we actually talked recently about stabilizer muscles. How important is it when you work the bicep to really just sort of isolate and to work on it?
One of my favorite exercises, and I know a lot of kind of old school bodybuilders used to use it, was the concentration curl, where you're free armed form, where you're not locking, either you're not locking your arm down on the pad. What's that thing called? Where you
the preacher curl?
Yeah, pad, like you do a preacher curl, or you don't have doing a bicep where you're locked your arms in place, but you're sort of free form, like almost like your elbow is out.
Yeah,
and you're doing and you're sort of almost hunched over or bent over at the back, which is I know some people don't like it. Excuse me, for that reason. But that was always one of my favorites. I found that it actually sort of strength-wise made me real strong. Yeah. But is that something, does it make sense to do that? Or is it kind of just something that has been debunked now where doing something where you isolate it, like the preacher curl, is just as effective?
All kinds of, well, see, there's no one most effective exercise. So there are tons of different exercises. And my advice is always to try different exercises in different ranges of motion, try different things. So there's no one best way, but there are some exercises that you want to be careful of. So any bicep curl, you do want to be careful of. So it's good to get as full range as you can, but you don't want to go into full extension.
Okay.
Especially with heavy weights, because when you go into full extension, you're putting a lot of strain on the tendons and ligaments, especially the biceps tendon, which is probably the most common biceps related injury, is a torn biceps tendon. So you want to be careful. Again, the muscles get stronger quicker than the tendons, more blood flow. So a lot of times, this happens more with bodybuilders, and happens a lot with people who do drugs. Like, I've known quite a few bodybuilders who were decent steroid users who had torn biceps tendons. It's a pretty common injury because the muscle gets too strong for the tendon, so the tendon doesn't keep up. And at some point, something's got to give, and the tendon gives. So that can happen, A, from that, you build too much too quickly, or B, you're going full range and lifting with just too much weight at full range. So that's one injury that I'd be careful of. So as far as form, I'd just be careful of, again, heavy weights at full range of bicep curls. The other common injury is a shoulder injury. So like on a preacher curl or the kind of curl you talked about, it's still important.
It's restrictive.
Well, it doesn't matter as much as it is restrictive, as much as if you're sitting up, right? Sit upright, you bring your shoulder blades together and kind of shoulders down and back. That's a position you naturally want to be in. Most of us aren't in that position because most of us don't focus on our posture, but that's the case. That's what you want to know. Shoulder blades together, down and back. So when you're doing a curl, if you're not in that position, if you're kind of protracted or the shoulder blades aren't together or the shoulders are rounded forward, you're already in a bad position. So rotator cuff and the shoulder joint is in a bad spot. Then if you start adding a load, you add weight to already being in a bad position, there's an increased risk of injury. So like on a preacher curl, the preacher curl naturally puts you in that position. Or sometimes like the type you were talking about where you're kind of bent over, if you're not aware of your form, that'll naturally put you into that kind of protracted position. So the important thing when doing curls is, in addition to not doing full extension with heavy weights, you also want to make sure that your shoulder blades are together, shoulders down and back, and that you maintain that posture. Because again, the second most common injury, and maybe even more common amongst like novice and intermediate weightlifters, is the shoulder injury. And I mean, shoulder injuries, there's so many things that can cause it, that it may or may not be bicep curls.
So many things that put stress on the shoulders that it just
could be anything. But you want to make sure that you're in position. Now, there is something called like a cheat curl. So, but this is a more advanced movement. Basically, it is a way of using momentum and a little bit of swinging and a little bit of using your back to get like the last couple of reps on heavy curls, or if you're doing heavy weights. But I would stay away from it unless you're very advanced and your focus is weightlifting or bodybuilding and you really need to increase the weight. Otherwise, like, I'd stay more along lines of keeping the weights a little bit lower and focusing on form. But there is a place for it. Again, I don't recommend it unless you're advanced and you have the experience and the ability to do that without injuring yourself.
Now, speaking of weight and the amount of weight, I remember we used to be obsessed with how much we can curl. It's just funny the things that you find important when you're a teenager, and now we realize that it's just not even a near measure of what real strength is.
I know it's not, but I'm still impressed by what I used to be able to curl.
Of course, yeah, it was nice. Once I did 50, you know, for me, which is a lot. I did 50 pound for a few reps, which is a lot for me. How really important? All right, you're not, obviously, if you want to be a bodybuilder, we know it's important. But for most people that are just looking to have nice biceps, is it really important to do tons of weight? Or do you just more want to focus on like a decent amount of reps and proper form and not worry, and the trying to get do 50 pounds in each arm, 50 pound dumbbells.
I mean, everybody is different, but it really depends on the person and how they respond to exercise. You know, I generally say if you're, for most people, staying in that, if you're lifting heavier, maybe in the 8 rep range, whatever you can do in that range is going to be about what will work for you, 8 to 10 maybe. But it is better for the biceps. It is more important that you're focused on a little more on the reps and volume than on the heavy, like heavy weights with the biceps. So, you know, it's not a muscle that needs to be, you know, it assists with movement.
Sure.
So you do want to be careful on that. But again, if you want to build your biceps, for some people it might take a little bit heavier weights, for others it may not. So it varies a little bit, but I, like I said, I would say closer to that 8 to 10 rep range.
So now this is sort of an old wives' tale of fitness, that if you did a lot of reps and you did them fast, that it would make your muscle kind of point out more, like there are more like peaks, while if you did heavy curls, it would make it just the whole arm bigger. Has that been debunked by now? Do we know that it doesn't really work like that, and that it's your muscle's going to develop sort of how it develops? Okay. And, you know, your genetics and all that stuff really play the most important role.
Yeah, genetic. Okay. Yeah, that's one of the more common myths is that you can shape the muscle. So, yeah, you can't shape your muscle. You can't, you know, your muscle is your muscle. Like it's going to develop in the shape that it will develop. But, you know, so you grow it, it'll grow whatever, however you want. It'll shrink however it shrinks. You can't shape it. I remember my very first certification during a seminar, he was telling us how there was a bodybuilding ad, and basically there was a person who wanted a more of a peak to his biceps.
Sure.
So anyone can do this at home right now. So you take your arm, make a muscle, flex your biceps, right? So start by pointing your fingers or your fist away from you. So your fingers are actually pointing away from you. And if you flex the biceps, it's going to be a longer muscle, right? So apparently the ad took a picture of that like that, and then it was like, try so-and-so's program and you'll change the shape of your biceps. And then the second picture had the palms or the knuckles, palms facing the person, and then all of a sudden it was a more shapely biceps. You could do that at home. Again, you make a muscle with the biceps, you turn the wrist one way, you turn the wrist the other, it's going to change the way it looks. And that was all the ad did, but supposedly it created a bigger peak, and it's not the case. Unfortunately, it will grow or shrink however your body has decided it's going to grow or shrink. So it is what it is with that.
All right, so a couple of things that people want. First is they want the bicep vein. They really love the vein. And the second is the famous baby's butt.
Okay.
Is it possible to achieve these, or is it sort of the same thing? It's going to develop how it's going to develop.
Okay, it's kind of the same thing. I think both of those are... So in each case, well, they have more to do with your body fat percentage than they do with the biceps itself. So there's a vein there. It's going to show, or it's not, like depending on how much body fat you have, you know, that's part one. So again, you notice bodybuilders have it because they have very low body fat. The guy at the gym who's ripped has it because he's got very low body fat.
And also that's just how his body is.
Or it's by, so some of it's genetics, but it's also like that's part body fat. Same thing with the baby's butt. So basically the biceps has like kind of two heads. There's a long head and the short head. Short head's medial. It's more like towards your torso. The long head's lateral. It's away from, you know, on the other side, away from the torso. So everybody's got the split biceps head. It's just that, again, if you have very low body fat, it'll be more visible than if you have more body fat. Now, I've read various things about like how to train. You can't isolate like either head of the biceps. They do the exact same thing. From what I've read, I think the short head of the biceps assists in abduction, or basically it assists in bringing the humerus down towards the torso. So imagine if you were standing with your arms out to your side, that movement of bringing the arm down towards the torso or towards the trunk, apparently the short head aids in that movement a little bit. So theoretically, then, if you're doing a biceps curl with the arm closer to the torso, you're going to work that slightly more. So you're not going to isolate it, but maybe it works a little bit more. And then you do a bicep curl with the arm away from the torso, it's going to slightly aid in, you know, the movement just a little bit more on the lateral side. Again, it's not, or on the long side. So it's not going to, I don't think it would make a measurable difference. And I couldn't find any studies that showed that it made a measurable difference. But theoretically, you could train one head slightly more than the other just by the positioning. The other thing, apparently, so there's what's basically, so like I mentioned that there's the three, like the biceps muscle does sure. three different things. There's what's called active insufficiency. So basically what that means is in one part of the movement, the muscle's not as strong. Like if it's doing two different things, right? It's flexing it. Let's say eliminate the supination for now. Biceps flexes the elbow and flexes at the shoulder. If it does both of those movements at once, if you're doing both at the same time, the muscle might be weaker because of one during one of the movements. So basically the short head of the biceps, right? The medial head apparently undergoes what's called active insufficiency. It's a little bit weaker when you're flexing both the elbow and the shoulder. So again, theoretically, if you do a bicep curl with your shoulder in neutral position or your shoulder extended back, like let's say you're lying on an incline bench, like you're lying on a bench, you're at an incline, your arms are hanging down and you do bicep curls that way, then theoretically you'll work the short head slightly more than you normally would because it's not undergoing that active insufficiency. So again, these are just, I don't think it makes enough of a difference in your workout to actually focus on it. But you know, I would do incline curls anyway. They're kind of good. You just have to be a little bit careful with the shoulder. And you do curls from different angles and different ways anyway. But I wouldn't like say, okay, I'm going to work the short head of my biceps today. So I'm going to focus. Yeah, you know, like, I wouldn't do that. I would just work on different angles, work on different movements just for the hell, to do it.
Sort of related to that. And I know that the focus of this discussion was on the biceps, but there are other exercises that work the biceps as well. Is it important to think of your biceps when you're working other muscle groups as well? So obviously the back
is
the main one. So you want to keep your biceps in mind. Like I know for me doing pull-ups, obviously, you know, cable rows are good. Is it how much of a role do the biceps play in those? And is it important to factor that in?
They play a large role, but the issue is if your positioning is off, they play more of a dominant role than they should. So like, for example, if you're doing a pull-up, you want to work the lats, and the biceps are an assistant mover. They're an important assistant, but if your shoulder blades are in a bad position, a lot of times the brunt of the stress goes into like the trapezius, the upper back, upper muscles, and then also the biceps, which are and the front of the shoulders end up taking on way more than they need to because you're not in a good position. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like a seated row or a lat pull down. If your back's not in a good position, you end up overworking the biceps. So you almost the opposite of what you're saying when you're exercising, they should be there as an assistant, but you want to make sure your positioning is such that they don't take over the movement.
So yeah, I think that sums up our discussion on the biceps. What are the three different positions?
You have neutral position, palms facing, pronation, palms down, supination, palms up. As simple as that. We'll see. I'm going on vacation in a few days, so I'm going to try to get this up before I go on vacation, but I should try to put like a little companion guide with it, with some of the exercises and which muscles are working for which exercise. I can't guarantee it, but I'm going to try to do it, and I think we're able to post it. We can even just post it right up on our feed. If not, it'll be on our website, which is www.thejimwits.com.
Yeah, you guys know where to reach us.
Yeah, that's it. Any questions, feel free to send us an email at thejimwits@gmail.com.
And if you want us to do another essential, we're going to get to all of them, but if there's one that you guys would prefer, let us know, and we'd be happy to do it.
All right, that's it. I'm Ryan George.
I'm Justin Guild, a.k.a. Chef Sonic.
And we are the Jimwits.